Brethren, we are at a very special season.
There are several of the holy days that concern the world.
But this holy day, which will come up on the 24th of
this month,
on Sunday,
the Feast of Pentecost, concerns us. And the Word of God gives us as preachers very little option at this time. It says that we must preach meat in due season. The reason that God has given us these days is so that His ministers and His people can focus on the particular meanings of the holy days. Those of you who are visitors, let me just give you a little snapshot of the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek word which means 50th. Comes 50 days after the morrow, after the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, during the days of unleavened bread. There are 7 weeks from the days of unleavened bread, which is another of the holy days that we keep. And according to the prophetic schema of the church, Pentecost, because it was originally oriented around the agricultural harvest season of Israel, in fact, in the Old Testament, it was known as the Feast of First Fruits. And it represented the period when the Israelites reaped their first fruits. There was a latter, much more abundant feast and reaping which took place in the fall. That is represented by another feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. So in the spring, as we are now, there was a smaller harvest, which in typology, in Christian typology, the Church of God says this represents us. So visitors, be a little tolerant of us. We hold the view that we are the ones referred to symbolically, antitypically. And therefore the church now, the church which was founded by Jesus, the church is that first fruit reaping. Jesus has been resurrected, the first of the first fruits, and the rest are to be resurrected at His coming. Now, members of Church of God, some of you do not know that, you know, some of us do hold that Pentecost also, there is also a teaching that Pentecost also pictures the resurrection, the first resurrection, when the saints are reaped. So, that is there in the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost celebrates the birthday of the church, but also the mission of the church. We believe that the reason that Christians are called now is not just to be saved. It's a very important point that many members have missed. We are not called now just to be saved. We are called to do a work, to be involved in the work of the church, which is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is very, very important. Later on in the sermon, you will see what turns on this, how important this really is. Because a number of members in the church, I'm speaking broadly of the church, have missed this. And because they have missed this, they have missed some crucial points about their place in the church. So they feel that once you find a Church of God that is preaching the truth, that's enough. That is not enough. It's not enough to just find a Church of God. Later on, I will speak on that. And I'll make the point that it is our obligation to support the most effective work that we find that is fulfilling the mission of the first fruits, which is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The church that is most able and capable of reaching the most people with the gospel of the kingdom of God now. So, it is important that we focus in the next few weeks on ourselves. So we'll be talking about ourselves, the church, our mission, our purpose, the ministers of God, are mandated to give meat in due season. Now, one of the things we learn is that our purpose is to develop character. I was saying to my wife today, you know, I'm always preaching as I passed a big tent to a Sunday church. And my visitors, you know, I might be a little bit offensive in some of my statements. Just forgive me. I ask for your forgiveness in advance. So, I was passing a Sunday church with a big tent. And I would say, you know, I mean, people still doing these things, people still telling these fantasies, you know, people still going to church on, you know, on Sunday and couldn't help preaching to her again. I say, you know, really no. I mean, so she was saying, well, you know, some people could think that we, you know, you are an intellectual, but, you know, you still believe in some fantasies. I say, yeah, but look here. How do they reconcile? They believe that the reason that there is so much evil and suffering is because God has given human beings free will. That free will is important. And yet they believe that people are saved not through their free will by what, but by what God has done. Because the doctrine, the main doctrine of the churches, the doctrine of justification by faith, is that God saves you despite yourself. Works are not important. It doesn't matter what you do. You are saved because of what Jesus has done. So I'm saying now, I mean, yeah, but elementary thinking. If we are saved not by what we do, if character development plays no part, why God is stretching out history? What is the point of it? Why not just save those whom he is to save now? Because he's not waiting on anything from human beings anyway. He's just going to save those whom he called to be saved. So I said, it's, you know, it's absurd, these teachings. The doctrines are internally inconsistent. How do you should say, well, most people don't really go to church for, you know, doctrine. Most people go to church. I say, yeah, that's true. But how some intelligent people find themselves among there, I don't know. I said, perhaps because they don't know of the alternative that we offer. So, you know, and I was giving the example of the person whom I, the most widely read person I know, lives abroad now. And he came out some years ago, I took him to dinner. And I was saying to him, what dinner? Intelligent person, I think, can be a Calvinist. He was laughing a bit, shamefaced. Yeah, it's a problem, but I just can't find anything better, you know. But, you know, in talking to me face to face, as two intellectuals, it was hard for him to do. He was very embarrassed, but, you know, I can't find anything better. But he said, I feel badly about it, you know. You believe that God predestined only a few to be saved and the majority to be lost? You believe in a God like that? And what's him bothering with history for? The rest of us are just props. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, boy, thank God for him somewhere. Thank God I had this truth here, because I don't know what. Because I certainly wouldn't be in those churches. I would, you know, be outside, throwing away the Bible and just living futilely. So, 7.2 billion people on the earth, a few thousand called in this age. A few thousand out of 7.2 billion people in the world today. There were more of us in the truth up to the 1990s when the major organization that God was using apostatized. What a tragedy. It was the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. It was not the Holocaust. It was a spiritual Holocaust that took place in the Church of God. Because the Holocaust victims will come back and get a chance at life. But those who are lost in the true Church of God will never get any more chance. That is the greatest tragedy. That those who have fallen away and have died have lost their opportunity. And I was thinking about how precious is our call, especially in light of the earth's population presently and the number of persons whom we have had over the years. And I was wondering about you, brethren, whether you think about this. Whether you get up every day and you think about 1 Peter 5:10. I don't know whether regularly I ask you, young people, young adults, older people, veterans in the church, do you think about this fact? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober minded. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The full-time job of the devil is to pick off the first fruits. He wants to pick us off before we are ripe. He wants to pluck us before the time of harvest. So you get up and you're preparing to go to school. And you're preparing to go work. And you're thinking about your business. You're thinking about regular life. And you're oblivious to the spiritual world. You're oblivious to the principles and powers. You're just another day for you. Sometimes you get up off the wrong side of your bed with your wife. Hopefully not with your concubine and lover. But with your wife in a bad spirit. Another drab day. Another boring day. And you don't realize the stakes that are involved. There is a devil planning any number of things to throw you. You hear this all the time in sermon. But God sometimes has to jerk you. Give you some actual experiences to get your attention. But you go about and you say, well, we're all right. I mean, you hear that, you come to church and you might not come back and it might be the last feast. And I've been saying it over and over. Well, you take it for granted. Okay, go on, take it for granted. Ephesians 5:11. It is because I have not been taking this for granted why I have survived for 43 years. Think it was accidental. I regularly meditate on this. I think about what can go wrong. I think about my circumstances. I think about my work life. I think about home life. I think about church. I think about all the things that can go wrong. I think about my lusts. I think about my desires. I think about my frustrations. I think about the things that bother me, which are few. But I think, because I don't want to waste my 43 years. My investment. It's the most important thing. And Ephesians 6. I remember giving a whole sermon on this at Jamaica Grant. The whole armor of God. Ephesians 6. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principality, against the cosmic powers. Brother Clark, cosmic powers after you. You're a long time doing well. If you do it well, you know, but and you have a lot of assets. But if you ever feel I am immune, you know, something is there. Think about it often. Think about it now at Pentecost. Because Satan's main purpose, listen to me, Satan knows he's doomed. Only one purpose in his up. What up? He's not concerned about the world. 7.2 billion are concerned about them already. He has all the religions, all the groups, and say, he has already, he has no problem. They're not leaving him. They're not coming over in a troop. Can't even say he's a calling. So he has them. And he has the secular world, the intellectuals and so on. He has that. He has Hollywood. He has the politicians. He has Washington. And Beijing. And the politicians. So he has the culture already. Culture and plus about technology. The technologies are technologies of mass distraction. What else? Nowadays. You have so many things to do. I said, Berkeley, was that a new phone you're playing with during the time there? I don't know. You went to Brown and got a new phone, but that's good. It's a bashment phone. Good. I know you're an electronic man. These gadgets keep us 24 hours. Listen, we don't have no. You talk about even the stations we lose on cable. That old time base. Would I need that? We have so many things to entertain ourselves. We don't need stars and HBO and anything there. Because on a regular cheap phone, you can get so much. You have enough things to take up your attention. The technologies, they simply make God more invisible. Really, spiritual matters, passe. Now, people don't have time for them things anymore. God or who that? Nobody interested in God. So the people of God, remember now, so Satan has technology, he has Hollywood and so on. He have all him time to concentrate on it. By the way, there's not many of us left. So guess what now? What up? And the more of us he picks off, is the more time he have for the few of us left. I tell you, it'll get worse. First time when he had many of us in the worldwide church of God, a world for the work and thing. No, it's few of us left back here. What a hell from we now. Why I do not panic is that he that is in me is greater than he is in the world. And that Jesus has already overcome. I do not fear the host of demons. All I want to do is to follow this, to be vigilant, and to put on the whole armor. Me no afraid of Satan. Why did me survive so long? Me no afraid of Satan. Why? Because I study his tracks and I know how he operates. As long as I know how he operates and I know what to avoid and I know how God operates, I am alright. I am alright. Because I know him operate, and I know how God operate. And I have the Holy Spirit. Was given at Pentecost. I'm a part of the first who is me. God did not just call me and do equip me. God gave me the equipment and gave me the power. I have the power to deal with Satan. We have the power. Anything Satan come with, we have the power. Spirit power is what I am using. We have to take the whole armor. We are wrestling against the darkness and the spiritual evil. Watch things and you're concerned about people, individuals. Forget about individuals. Individuals are pawns. It's Satan doing this thing. Satan using individuals. Forget about, don't get bitter with individuals. What them say, what them write. Forget about that. Don't be distracted by Satan. You concentrate and keep your spirit. Love. Peace that passes understanding. When you're slander, you don't reply. When you revile, you don't reply. Walk in the Spirit. Follow the fruits of the Spirit. Love and patience and goodness and godliness. Follow that. And follow peace with all men. Without and holiness without which no man, no more preacher can see God. So guess what now? We're in the Pentecost period. Satan is mad. Angry cross. Revelation 12. All our first fruits. Glad to see so many of you. Watch. You can't be like the people in Auschwitz. They saw people going after the concentration camp. And them said, "Why, it's not me. Now come here, so." It keeps coming closer and closer, and the people do understand. But I understand. You take heed. Revelation 12. The devil is cast down. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Him have the whole world pattern, but him don't deceive the elect. Listen to me, we have escaped it. God has called us as the elect, you know. That's why we know the true church. Why do you think we are here? And that somewhere else. That meeting on Saturday. Because we are elect. Not because we were super bright. It's a divine appointment, divine call. The Pentecost, you must understand. The Pentecost is about us. It is a divine call. So I've deceived the world already. And him have them locked. And I heard a voice, verse 10, a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, and the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down." Accuse God's people and God's leaders. Him accuse them every day, every night. Him love call up my name, but it's alright. How are we going to conquer them? They conquered them by the blood of the Lamb. And the Protestants, Brother Hunter, the Protestants them say, it's just that alone. Him conquering by blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus alone. Mr. Ramson, say I think that this Protestant world upset him and hate him. He said the blood of Jesus does not finally save any man. If it was the blood of Jesus alone, everybody would be saved, because the Bible says him shedding blood for the whole world. If him shedding blood for the whole world, how come everybody not saved? Common sense. Because it takes more than the blood of Jesus. There is something human beings must do. You overcome by your testimony what? You love not your lives. Oh, how much are you in that category? How much are you in that category? Love your lives. Someone who loves a friend and family more than God, but just who would life. How many of you here? How many? We can't talk anything. When the time comes, we know. We have 43 years of experience with shows, and me can't boast. Up to now. Up to now. Can't boast. You can't talk to other people. I made them tell you about my tests over the years. Someone who face a test yet. The first test of my face is not gone. We have talked to some people there on a long time from the 80s. I want to hear about my test. They're talking to a man who was a holy for testimonies. Pastor, a holy for storms. Love not your life unto death. You're dead in thy church. Give up persecution, martyrdom, we don't care. So, when the dragon, verse 13, saw that he had been thrown down on the earth, he pursued the woman. The church and the mother, talk about Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to the church. Church, the mother of us all. The woman. Following Israel, that first one, the congregation in the wilderness. Israel being the first church. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly into the wilderness time and time and half a times. Verse 16, the earth came and helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured forth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war. And who that is? We. The devil is making war with us, who keep the commandments of God and we hold the testimony of Jesus. The true people of God are commandment keeping. So we are to war on the easy. We are to war on the thing. We are to war and expect man to get shot and killed. That war is the boy general can't kill, and all the soldier can't kill now a war. We are to war and feast. We are. We can't walk around, we can't do anything. But we are to war. And the Apostle Paul uses the same war analogy, says, him say a soldier don't get entangled in civilian affairs. We are soldiers, army of God. And what's the first thing we learn? First thing we learn is, our captains are not safe. Don't feel now say your captains can't get hit. Don't feel say your generals can't get hit. The first thing you must know, you must understand the war manual. You can't go to war and you don't understand war manual. You must understand what can happen on the battlefield. That's why the great Chinese philosopher and military strategist wrote a book called The Art of War. The Art of War. Well, this is our Art of War instrument. You know it? I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to tell you the first savior of Israel was Moses. The first savior of Israel did not make it over into the promised land. The first savior did not make it over. After all the military feats, after all the great accomplishments, after all the years of God using it, Moses did not make it into the promised land. God, so boy, God, well, God make him look upon it and see it and couldn't, had to wish it well. One of the things about the people of God is we lose sight of what can happen. People of God panic and lose sight. On the night, to be much observed, one of my dear brothers, I sat right out there. We were talking, I said, boy, the road is rough, you know. Don't be surprised how man I meet follow you. He said, no, it's impossible for you to follow it. He said, you can't follow it. It's impossible. Not too much of the right. So. Now, he did go on to explain something important, and he was right about this. He said, you know, the world can't hold you, because you, if the world even attract you for a few minutes, or a woman, and you fall with a woman, you'll come back to your sense quick. He's right. Very right about that. World can't hold me. Get money, fame and all that. Zealous as before. Don't miss. You see me having less zeal since I became well off, Mr. Clive Clark. When the days when we are in the on-air conditioned building down on Arnold Road, when my bum lift and no have no tie. You see, say from me become a household name in this country and make money. And you see me have less zeal. You see me put less work in the work of God. You see me mind and taken up with the world and taken up with this life. You don't see me have the focus for the kingdom of God as radically as when you met me 38 years ago. So he's right. I've seen the bankruptcy of the world. The world cannot attract me. The world, you can't, you don't have anything to offer me. I have a dream. I've seen the promised land. And this world is not enough. There's no fame. There's no money. There's no amount of woman and sex and art. All of those things which are available to me right now. I count it as dung. For this, as Paul said, for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So he was right about that. That can't hold me. But Satan have something every man. But because in can't, God, Satan can't hold me with that. Don't you be. I want to do that. I'll be wasting time. What am I around sinful? I should just die. If everything is okay, Satan has something for every man. And your temptation might not be mine, but there is something for me. Them say it's impossible. Well, I hope him will learn some things, you know, because that will affect him. If he continue to believe that, all Satan wants to do is get me. And if a holy pound have the same belief like him, hold up. Satan is smart, you know. You talk about a few of us, and Satan concentrates on a few of us, all Satan wants to know is that the mass of this church believes that this man can't fall. And Satan forget about you and say, hold up, if we just concentrate everything for him. All Satan say, you know, don't waste time with them. Spiritual forces, you just concentrate upon him. For them, idol. Concentrate for him. Una make it hard for me with an idolatry, you know. Una make it hard for me, you know. Una make Satan, because all Satan has to do to cut me down. To cut me down, then take care of me. Depressed. 2 weeks of place empty out. I have to warn you before me dead. I have to take you back to the scriptures. If the people at that time were so focused on the man who took them out of Egypt, and when them come to see that man himself never make it over, he was not qualified to make it over by God's standards, they would have been so disheartened if they had put their confidence in Moses rather than Yahweh who sent Moses. They would have been so shattered. Thank God those Israelites put their confidence in Yahweh and not in Yahweh's messenger. Be careful. The Bible says you must not make the flesh of man your ark. Do not. You are going to crash. You are going to burn. Be careful where you put your affections. Because when you get disappointed, when you fall out of love, going to be a strong delusion. May I help you? Up until 1:30, working hard. Tell my wife this morning, I said, boy, for a long time, I finished every word of my sermon before I left my house. Because it is so important that I try to save the church from myself. Save them. Try to save them. Bring them back in the word. The Lord. I want to give them little hints, you know. But they've not learned yet. And God wants Pentecost. Want them to learn the lessons so they can be stronger. Moses. Go back over the great feats that Moses did for the people of God. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 48. And the Lord said to Moses, ascend this mountain, which is in the land of Moab, opposite of Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I give to the people of Israel for possession. And die. You're going to die on the mountain. Why, God is a man in rough, you know why? I mean, God say you're dead. Because I show you from the mountain, you're dead from the mountain. I'm going to show you. It will tantalize you. You're going to see it. And you're going to think back about your wrong decision. One decision you make, you know. Hold off. But go on. You're going to die on the mountain. As Aaron, your brother, died in the Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah. You broke faith with me in the wilderness of Zin. I remember a sermon at the Feast of Tabernacles in 2012. Decision is destiny. And there was this statement which someone reminded me of. The statement in the sermon wasn't given by me. One bad decision can cancel out a lifetime of good decisions. Feast of Tabernacles, Ruins, 2012, sermon speaker. One bad decision can cancel out a lifetime. Bad decision at the end cancels out a lifetime of good decisions. And he went on to say similarly, one good decision can cancel out a lifetime of bad decisions. But for me, the part of me, I think about as the called, I don't want to make that one bad decision that writes off my 43 years. I say, may God not make me do it. God won't make me do it. I am going to work with God and with the Spirit to ensure that I follow the preacher's words and the preacher's advice. See, Yahweh says, you broke faith with me at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin because you did not revere me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. You shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there. For great man, you think I'm greater than Moses? Yeah, man, all of you been great. I have certain talents, too. But you really think I've played a role in the people of God more significant than who you really think? It's that type of Christ, Moses, what type of Christ, who led the children of Israel out, a million of them. We had to part the Red Sea through God, who did all those miracles. You really think I'm greater? So I must enter the promised land. Moses!
We're not into that. I'm not saying that in blasphemy all turgent, so I'm not saying that. But I'm not saying that for that. He did not.
And Deuteronomy 34:10 says, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. A special man. Didn't make it over. So all of you church of God know, when you read the Bible, what that mean now? So me drop out of the church and no panic. Which Bible do you really read it? Then if you really want them, I waste my time with it. Panic, which Bible to read it? Which God is serving? What are you doing? No, the Bible don't read the salvation history. Well, let me remind you then if you don't know. Let me go even before. Let me tell you about a man who preached powerfully for 120 years. You remember the man there? Beta about 43. And what do you think the time was like? It was the wickedest time on the earth. See, a man not only preached 120 years, the man lived in one of the wickedest environment. Someone later may come. Someone will feel that they can't strive in a certain environment. Why, well, Rafi? Only striving perfect. He was in one of the worst situations ever when human beings were at their worst, and God found him. What did God say of him? In Genesis 6 and verse 9. Let us look at Genesis 6 and verse 9. A little bit of pay attention, the light will be dependent on today's sermon. Genesis 6, 9. He said, these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. He walked with God. And when you consider what a wicked generation that was, for him blameless in that generation was a deacon's of a thing. 120 years. Walk with God. Very well. Till one day. One day we're reading in Genesis 9, 20. Now, Noah was the first tiller of the soil. He planted a vineyard. And him have the vineyard, you get wine from the vineyard. He said, boy, I mean, I'm plant this and I'll take a woolly pie, you know. So Noah drank of the wine and became drunk. That's a regular drunk. He drunk and lay down. Cheerless. He had a bad sit down. Noah was in, so this is the man of God of righteousness who preached. The man who 8 people saved. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the neck of his father and told the two brothers outside. You see, he was cursed as a result. Now, this, again, you're not saying that he was loved, but here's a situation where, despite his righteousness, for all that was here, you affect that boy, a man who had practiced with God so long, him safe, him all right. Drunk, and disorderly, naked. I don't know when Sunday do it. Before him call the other boy them and get cursed. Don't know where it happened to him. A righteous man drunk. Suppose something happened to me, you gone left the church. You find out now. So what you find out is not a rumor. That somebody find me somewhere drunk, lie down naked. You don't know who me there with before me naked. You wouldn't come back to church. That's the boy God couldn't really, you know. All them things preach are wrong. I have to question all them doctrines now because look what I'm saying. I want to take you to another great man. In 2 Chronicles 26, you don't know about this man much. 2 Chronicles 26. Be careful of great men like me. I'm going to take you to one of the greatest leaders Judah ever had. A man called Uzziah. God called me at 15, well, God called him at 16, young like me. 2 Chronicles 26:1, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. Amaziah,
go on with something. Read what Amaziah is going with. God raised up this young zealot named Uzziah.
He built Elath and he restored it to Judah after the king said to his fathers,
start great, man. Start out at 135 miles an hour.
Speed and move. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign. How long he reigned? 52 years.
Some more than me, I reign, you know.
Can anything go wrong with a man after 52 years?
That one day thing, you can't go after a man after 10, 15, 20, 25, 40 years.
Anything go wrong with a man?
We're in a church, you know, we're in a church, you know. Come to church. Looking forward to Pentecost. The Pentecost service.
Let me take you in the Word. Let me take you to the war manual that tells you what happened to you, your predecessor soldiers. You who are complacent in the battlefield, I want to tell you what happened to greater soldiers than you. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. One of the most successful kings. If you read, you must read, let's study. Read Kings and Chronicles. Read Kings and Chronicles.
By the way, if you don't ever want to know about apostasy, if you don't ever want to know about man who start and stop, well, love. You don't do a study. We have to do them things years ago, you know.
If you don't ever want to know about leaders and how not to trust them. So on, and afterward, Israel went whoring after this man. You have a good king come, a man do well, after the good king dead. How do people so gullible? A good man is around a follow. A good man dead on a gone off. Who the dependent always on a good man? Who the dependent always on a zealot? A zealot go down on the gone off. And Gideon died, and the people went a whoring. Josiah went up, and read the Kings and Chronicles. Look at the history of God's dealing with the people. Time, people of God, first fruit. And when you do have any shoes, those people never had the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, you have an individual relationship with Jesus. Those people never had the Holy Spirit, them had mediators. You have a direct relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no reason for you to put your trust in any pastor over Jesus Christ, with whom you have a personal relationship.
Going down in hell, you think you're going to call my name?
You think it will be any comfort that I'm in hell with you? You're going to say, well, Pastor Lou, yeah, Pastor Lou is away, but you're going to be down there too.
We said, well, Pastor was corrupt, Pastor was abusive, so and so.
Yes, me and you are going to spend time in hell. How that benefit you? Save yourself. Leave Pastor alone in hell. Leave Armstrong in hell. And you save yourself. Take the teachings that Pastor Armstrong have given you, which once you prove them in the Word of God, you follow that. And that's your ticket to the kingdom of God. Forget about human beings. You idolaters. Pentecost is here now. The church must be rebuked publicly. Time for the rebuking of the church.
He went out and made war with me. Uzziah was so successful. He made war against the Philistines. He broke down the wall of God. He restored the worship. Read what Uzziah did. Years and years ago, I remember when I came upon this passage first. 16 is my passage. I always remember these words. But when he was too strong, he grew proud.
When he grew too strong,
the worst thing for a leader is when he's too strong.
Pride, the original sin come in and he start to think a lot about himself.
Pride comes before a fall. The heart is spirit before destruction. Pride comes before destruction, the heart is spirit before a fall.
When he was too strong, he grew proud to his own destruction. I've seen that over and over in the church of God. People get too proud to their own destruction. For he was false to the Lord his God. He entered the temple to burn incense. A king was not to do that out of order. That's a priest's work. You must know your place within the church of God. Do not overstep your bounds. If you're king, do king work. If you're a prophet cannot do a priest's work. God has order in his church. When you go over that order. Problem we have in our church is we don't have enough. Azariahs. The church, meaning broadly, church of God. We have had a lot of Uzziahs, a lot of great leaders, great preachers. We have a holy for Uzziahs who became strong, great preachers, a big bringing out of people through magazine articles and television programs and all. We have a lot of Uzziahs. Big part of the problem of this church. You don't have enough Azariahs of courage. Church, I die out. And you keep Pentecost? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Listen to me. The Bible said the righteous are bold like a lion. The wicked run when no person. If you are righteous, you're supposed to bold. And you're supposed to have courage. And you're supposed to talk to any man, any pastor. We're not talking about rude and feisty. But talk firmly to any pastor. And tell him, say, I'm high red. Not talk behind man. I call it a coward. Tell pastor, you're wrong, so and so and so. This is so and so, whether you like it or not. The more I kick you out of the church, that's your problem. Can't kick you out of the true church. You can only do that, kick you out of the organization. Don't worry, once you do God, what God's supposed to do. But Azariah, the priest, went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. Well, you men of valor, because well, you're a priest, you know, the man of king, the man can't bring man to come and kill you. What up? You think you're a priest? Yeah, priests are serving incense. You think incense what? The man have some incense to kill you. Oh, priest. You think incense? Yeah, incense don't kill the man as quick as the armaments that they have. That's why it said they were men of valor, because you have to have courage. But your king of armies. Where priests have incense in their hand and a half a sacrifice. Kings of armies is about political power. You go talk to them bold at your own risk, but you must love God so much. You must risk your life for God. You don't use a threat against your life and don't do whatever. You risk your life. What did we read in Revelation about the people who are going to overcome in the last day? They loved not their lives unto death. Well, Luke 14 says, when you come to Christ, says to me, mother, father, husband, wife, you have to love me more than them, even your own life. Someone who do understand discipleship. The same doctrine of grace by the false church is now on the head. Well, it's grace, the Lord, God's grace. God wants disciples. We want first fruits. What kind of example? You are going to be in the resurrection. What are you going to be? Some hardcore people. What kind of example are you going to be? What are you going to tell them about? The corruption that went on in the church and the role you played are on the runway when there was corruption. I can't talk to people in the world tomorrow. If you leave it to people like me, who stick around when there were racist problems in the church, all kind of problems, corruption. Me can't talk to them people there. Well, I can't talk to them. No, run. Azariah confronted Uzziah and said, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. But for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated, you need some people of God who are tell pastor with him wrong and tell pastor with him down, follow the word of God. But you have to know it first. You can't tell pastor something you don't know. If you don't know the Bible, you can't carry pastor. That's why someone afraid to come to me because I don't know what I don't know in the Bible. I'm afraid. I don't know somebody was showing up. But how you do that is you'll study your word. You become expert, rightly dividing. When you come to pastor, no matter how much you read, you know, say you know the word. And there's some simple things when you do wrong. You don't need no big books to tell him. There's some simple things you tell him and he knows saying wrong too. Even from a stifling conscience. The first fruits church of God the Pentecost Church of God. Listen to me now. I don't want us only keeping the feast, you know, as a ritual, you know. We must keep the feast in reality. You must live like a Pentecost church. You must live and protect the heritage of the first fruits. And if you can't talk to pastor and tell him, I read, you are not worthy to be a part of the first fruits. You must have courage like Azariah. 80 priests, thank God, could we find 80 people of courage at this place? But the big point is, Uzziah was a strong man till he reached destruction. Some of you, if you are around that time, when your faith would have been shattered, say, boy, if a great man like Uzziah can do that, what about me? Why me can't make it to yourself? If Uzziah was so strong, and in after 50 odd years, why? What's the poor Simeon only have 5 years? Look what Moses he man. And him fall away. Him do a thing where God say he was not worthy to enter the promised land about. So what about the fact? Is it by accident that God tells us in his word that the strongest man ever alive and the wisest man ever alive lose them way? Of God, what Bible are reading? The Bible tells us that the strongest man, Samson, and the wisest man, Solomon, lose them way. I want to still worry. I want to still think that boy pastor losing way now, we better pack up and go fishing. That's like how Jesus when he in the body cross the man and said, boy, I didn't go back fishing. The man who can't even find a fishing line, but you know what, try at least forget one and borrow back one from the whole time. And imagine you going back to the world. The friends that we used to see when I keep Sabbath now. And we used to come out on the yard and keep Sabbath now. What do I say to them when they're up on the road? What do you talk to them and say? The boy, you know, say, Pastor Boyne, we find out he's a crook, you know, he may do something that hurt me. Let me go and leave him, you know. And I tell your friend, the friend them was like me, you see. You keep your mouth. My friend was like me. And I done with you. Samson. His birth was special. Him consecrated from birth. How many of us consecrated? I can't claim that. Him consecrated from birth. And let's go to 1 Samuel 10 and verse 9. It's important I take you back through these things. 1 Samuel 10. Samuel 10. I tell you, you know, why I survived over the years. But you know, all of my favorite leaders in my church have gone, you know. When I come in as a young man, the people were writing the bag of articles and the plain truth, you know. Between 74 and 78, all of them gone, you know. And those who left by 79, when the state of California put the church in receivership. Someone ever know I left part of the Israel church? Things were so bad and corrupt that the government had to take over the church. And we were corrupt. There was no mistake about that. It's a fact. I don't hide it. No, me no gone. Because me no come for man. Me no worship man. I have never idolized any man. I have never idolized Armstrong. That is why me can't stay in that truth. Dead from 86. I'm rotten. I follow the Bible, man. The Bible. I find that the doctrines of this church. The only church I see that has these doctrines. That is what I follow. I follow no man. I have never been in love with any man. I have never been in love with any man. I hope to God I will never be. No man can disappoint me to the point of rejecting God. No. Come and make sure me protect my heart first. I mean, give my affection to Jesus. And any affection to any man, anything must be called a man of follow Christ. But I have no affection for no man. Pan him one.
never been guilty of idolatry. So learn, listen from me as to how me see it. No man can disappoint me to the point. No, I don't say no man can disappoint me. You can't disappoint me to reject Jesus. You can't disappoint me if you doubt the doctrines of Jesus. Keep my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Yahweh. And idolatry is one of the greatest sins. First commandment is you must not have any other God. Your wife, your husband, your friend should not be your God. So I'm glad I tell you last time, I'm glad no mother bring me to church. I come by myself. I'm not left with no mother. I'm not left with no friend or no wife or nobody. Jesus called me. I was called from the foundation of the earth. It was activated when I was 15. I have proven it over and over. I have had a divine call on my life. And God has put me in his church. And till death do I part from the church of God. I bring my sister in a church. When the church crash, she leave. I bring my neighbor Carmen in a church. When the church crash, she leave. I bring my good adventure, my best friend Kenneth. I brought him in the church. When the church crash, them leave. The three of them go to America. A place where a lot of Christians got to crash. The whole of them. If they were in Jamaica with me, and was under my influence, they would very likely be in the church. Three of them go and look like. And lose it. End up. All three of them leave. Come in through me, go over there, the church gone, and them gone away. I came in by myself. My own study. My own investigation. Walk or leave my friends in Adventist church. Walk or leave Brian Scott and the others. Have no church to attend. Don't follow man. Walk or leave my friends to follow truth. It's no wonder when you look at my life, you see, I've gone through all the storms. And a lot of my friends leave me. And if more of them leave me, sorry, I'm going to miss them. But me not going away with them. Me not going to any destruction with any friend. I am going into the kingdom with Jesus. Because in purchase my salvation with his precious blood. I mean, now make Jesus' blood go to vain. In my life. My life. I am not making the blood of Jesus go to vain. If I'm me alone left here, be sad for the rest of you. But me alone, me coming by myself, me never know any of you. Apart from Brian Scott. Who never came in me that time. I never know you. I mean, inner this with Uno. You're personal. I was baptized alone. I baptized every one of you alone. Whether you're married, or you're coming with the family, you're baptized alone. You take a personal covenant. If you don't want to mess up that and follow a man, Uno can go on. If you want to mess up and follow a woman, mess up and follow your mother, and follow your father and your brother, you go on. Me never say like Joshua to me and my house. Me and myself, me can't even talk to my household because they have free moral agency. People can go and do what they want to do. Wife can do what they want to do. One testimony me know me have inside this place. Even the people them who don't like me inside here, not one of them have any doubt that if my wife gone and my daughter gone, so I mean I left. Not one of them would have ever expressed that doubt. And I wonder, say, I wonder, Pastor. You know that enough about me to know, say, this man rooted and grounded. No friend move me. Any day, I will me not believe it. Samson reached the point in pulling the whole house upon himself to destroy his enemies. He used his strength against his own self. He was just like Uzziah. He became too proud to his own destruction. He used his own strength and bring down the house upon himself. The strongest man. You know what the Bible gives examples? It's not by strength you're saved. When you give an example about Solomon, the wisest man, it's not by wisdom you're going to be saved. Solomon was the wisest man. Never know the secret of a woman. 1 Kings 4:29, Solomon. Church of God, serious time. Satan, let loose. Me no afraid of him. Me dare on. Me defeat him with Jesus before. But defeat him again. 1 Kings 4, 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. Largeness of mind like the sand on the seashore. Me with all my boasting. Me no greet us for yet. God gave him. God gave him. You know one thing Satan does? Satan breaks down our confidence. What a preacher who is so disciplined. What a preacher who have mind control, who understand positive things. What a man like pastor now where, you know, he's such a hard worker. He's such a, he talk about up at 1:30 and so on. If me fall away, you know, we're going to hit you, know, we're going to hold off. But me don't have the hope. Because if a man like Pastor Bowen can leave. You know, read the Bible. Pastor Bowen did read Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, largeness of mind, like the sand of the seashore. Then if him can reach a point, the Bible later says, when Solomon became old, his wives lead him off. After all these years of wisdom, he make emotional attachment and feelings. Feelings, him wives them lead him. Me say, me not make no wife because I love her so still. She go to hell by herself. Me I tell you that. She be not. His wives touched. Despite him wisdom. Go and look for me. Oh boy, pastor is a very disciplined man. And he's man of spent too much 40 odd years. He's invulnerable. God has a special hold on him. You go on. Put your confidence in that. I will steer once pastor is around and I feel good, good, good. I feel good, wonderful, good. Every time I see pastor, I feel good, good, good. Pastor might not be around always. Might not be around always. Then look at Elijah. After his encounter with the Ahab. I mean after his great encounter with the false prophets of Baal. And Elijah, the man of God, we read in 1 Kings 19. That Elijah ran away. Elijah, in verse for the latter part, he says, it is enough, Lord. He went and sit under the broom tree, gone by himself. Ask that him die. It is enough, Lord. Take away my life. I am no better. Depression reached a great man of God. Suppose you are wrong and you saw the great work Elijah did, and you hear say, a man like that, no run away depression. That will discourage you. Well, me glad you're like that, me dear. Me, I hear see him, but it will discourage many people. Elijah, and the Lord had to come to him, verse 9, and said, Elijah, what you doing here? And he said, boy, I'm afraid of my life, you know. Boy, I'm running, look at the man that want to kill me. Oh, you mean, me, God, I am bigger, I can save you in me way. You're afraid for your life. You, who just saw my demonstration of power, afraid for your life. Madness. Well, I have to run for my life, you know. I'm the only one here left, and I'm going to stick with my life. Yahweh said, the work of God bigger than you, my brother. I reserve 7,000 on me. God can override human will for doing him work in specific instances. And the work is the most important thing on God's mind right now. The work of the church, that's the most important thing on the mind of God right now. You get that. The little thing will happen in your life, and you look at your problems. My brethren, when you look on David, after all his exploits, God said, the big desire we have, the mission, to build my house, you're not going to build my house because you're a man of war, your hands bloody. David failed in his mission. It was in his heart,
All he wanted to do was to build God a house. And God wanted a house. But God said, you are not going to get to build a house. You know how many failures are recorded in the Bible?
The church of God should be prepared for more failures to come. The church of God should be strengthened. You're going to have more failures as you come down more. Because what? Satan is more angry now. Satan has a shorter time now. Satan has more work to do. What all of you must make sure. You can't save your neighbor. You can't help. Each of you should partake your crown. That is what you better do. You're going to see some big people fall. Me no one near among them. But you have to put in your mind, say, me can be among them. All it takes is somebody to be careless. Can you see a man preaching and every man thinks, look at it, you never know what's happening in a preacher's life. I tell you that. We give you a nice face and you never know. Sometimes the preacher himself don't know where you're going in life. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it, including the preacher? But you know, everything is alright to the preacher. Preacher's dynamic. Preacher's so-and-so. Preacher has it all together. How could it happen to him? You never know. The deterioration was taking place a long time in pastor's life. You only see the end of it, but because you have so much trust and confidence in pastor. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is sinless. My brethren, who do put no confidence in him? Him can't fail. He will never fail. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never renege on any promise. He will never give a speech and don't follow it. I will give speech and not follow it. Me will give promise and not follow it. Do not put your trust in me. Any other preacher come with earthen vessels, come preach to you. Pray for us. Support us. Encourage us. If you see we're going off, talk to us. Hold our hands. Admonish us. Do all you must do for us. But do not worship us. Worship God. Worship God. Worship God. When Jesus was on the stick, what did the gospel say? It said all deserted him. You didn't know that? Do you know all the disciples abandoned Jesus? When they're on the cross, only two women, their own. All the time you focus on Peter, you know. Okay, Peter, isn't that Peter alone? The Bible said all of them deserted him. Paul and Timothy said, he said, all in Asia have gone and left me. What is it? Do you understand what has been happening in the church of God? Look at 2 Timothy 1:15. 2 Timothy 1:15. 2 Timothy 1:15. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, and among them Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now what I tell you about Phygellus and Hermogenes. They must have been prominent people. The very fact you call them name. They weren't ordinary members. It's like the man that said, oh, can you imagine? Evil. What do you mean Phygellus? And Hermogenes. Can you imagine even them man they gone? These were prominent men with Paul. The people who got the letters, can you imagine how the church feel? They were loved men. There's a time for everything. There should be sadness. There should be some mourning. There should be regret. There's a place for that. But if them they ever take it and say, no, well, them man they gone, you know, so we better check this thing, we better abandon it, you know, our God, them man they couldn't go on and there's something wrong, you know. Them man are too important, you know. Them man they're imagining is a serious man, you know. Them man they not leave so. No. They were sad. They mourned. They regretted. They cried. But they believed even more in the Lord. They knew on what foundation they stood.
They knew. 2 Timothy 1:15.
And then 1 Timothy 1:15 too, I think. 1 Timothy. Oh, it doesn't look like that. 1 Timothy 1:18.
This charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic utterances which pointed to you, that inspired by them you may wage a good warfare. He's telling Timothy to hold on, not to be like others. Listen to this later. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have shipwrecked their faith. By rejecting conscience. Now, this is a very interesting thing, you know. Paul accused the man, but guess what he's going to do?
He called a name among them, Hymenaeus and Alexander.
Maybe I do that to him. I said, boy, I'm a man. Me unloving. And what.
Paul called a name. When his letters were read, the people understood and knew he was talking about. And he made a judgment, tell the church that them shipwreck them faith. And them shipwreck them conscience. And he make a judgment about them.
Me not really follow him and everything like that. But me want to tell you who is to get offended. Who do you know in the Bible? Who know you say get offended, pastor, and think did this?
Well, your pastor Paul call them on them name and question their motives. He questioned himself. Him says them conscience, them shipwreck. Something wrong with them morally.
Him says something wrong with them morally while them leave. And him say, I've delivered them over to Satan. If me ever come here and say that, the world I won't curse and go on bad. And say, oh, me unloving and unkind. Don't know the Bible. Wish the church would know the Bible. Wish you know understood these things. Because you would understand that a lot of things you get worked up about.
But I talk about all of these people. I talk about all the great people who have fallen. Go in Kings and you go in Chronicles and you see it. But which is the most illustrious case me not mention? Of all the talk, I'm talk about big lights and big guns who are falling away. Which is the biggest gun of all?
Judas, eh?
Brother Clark said Judas had the biggest gun. Kelly? Which is the biggest gun of all? The gun of guns.
Remember now? Give him name.
Lucifer. Created perfect.
What up? Church of God.
Now talk about the rest of us. Talk about the one created perfect. Not a regular angel, an archangel. Not a regular archangel. But one in charge of a whole band of angels.
Church of God, about to know. A joke on the self, man.
You don't understand. Pastor can't fall. If pastor fall, he won't fall. No, this is madness, you know, man. I mean, pastor fall now, when I stay on the yard, you know, when I confused, and I go look back over where I used to believe.
Where it was all the time, when the Bible was, where the Dickens was all the time. Where the day all the time, which Bible I read all the time. We don't need God all the time. For sure, we don't need Satan to pick our people. We don't come to our senses. When I come every week and I tell you what happened. And I sit down and go on like, we know only, as Clinton and Chisholm say, we don't have head only for buck and wear hat. That's the only reason we don't have head for. Clinton said some people should have come to church from them neck down because they don't use their head. Who's the head man understand scriptures, man? There's shock and awe about. Ezekiel 28.
None of these things move me.
Ezekiel 28.
And verse 13, you were the signet of perfection. I talk about Solomon. You were full of wisdom. You were perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. As we have taught, I don't know the church that teaches. As we have taught, Lucifer was down here on the earth. Lucifer was in charge of the garden before Adam and Eve. Never know that. Now why do you think Isaiah 14:7 says, I will go up. I will ascend to the mountain. I will be like the Most High. Because he was on the earth before. What you see in Genesis 1 was a different creation. The earth had become to you and bow you. That wasn't the original creation. I'm sure I'm taught about these things. There was an original creation that was wrecked because Satan was on the earth. You were full of wisdom and perfection. Listen to this. You were in Eden. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx. Was created perfect. Adam. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were appointed the guardian cherub. This is not talking about Adam. I place you were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways. From the day that you were created. Till what? Till iniquity was found in you. Why? Verse 17. Your heart. You see the same thing again? You see the same pride thing again? Your heart became proud. Get too big for your braces now. You see, pride destroyed a lot of ministers. A lot of us. Big problem for us. You have to pray for us. You have to pray for us. Pride. It has killed men. Do not go down with us. Pray for us. Try help us. If you go down with us, you can't help us, you know. When me gone off now, and you gone off with me, you can't help me. You must stay firm to help me to come back into the faith. That is what you must do to help me. You are not helping me by being down in the gutter with me. I'm walking with another passport to hell. Not helping me. I'll tell you something else. Some years ago, I was having some questions about the Bible, you know. I called two of the leaders closest to me, you know. And we sat on the steps of PCJ. Many years and years away, I meet a PCJ. And I said to them, you know, boy, you know, one of my biggest fears, because I read so much, I think one day I might abandon this thing, you know. Because one thing with me, if me find a thing wrong, I tell you the truth right now, you know. If me find a thing wrong, I stay, you know. I tell you the truth, you know. Me not one of them, I say, I stay no matter what. No, if me one day finds that this thing is not true, I am not staying. Let me tell you publicly, you know. Don't worry. I'm telling the truth. If me finds that it's not true, be gone. And I told the two men, say, gentlemen, I read up some things, I may have some questions. Not about now, I'm sorry. No. Because I always know if this is a church and all right. I can't see the Bible making sense. My questions are more fundamental. Bible. Other things. I said, gentlemen, one thing I tell you now. If I am to leave a church, me now give one of the material me read. Because I want to stay in a church to tell the people that we're going to keep them. I don't want to be responsible for one. In case me wrong, I want to be responsible for my own destruction. And not going to share the material. The guys who I love. And I said, I know you guys are open-minded. I am not. I'm going to leave quietly. Remind the people about my sermons that me always tell them I'm going to leave. and tried to stabilize the church. From that time, years and years ago, we kept in touch. Me, I will tell them, they've never asked me something. Me go and say, boy, you know, may I read this thing, whatever. We're still going on in the... But I made sure to tell them, me not even going to make you. I am not bringing you with me. I don't want one. I know I'm not leaving, but I don't want one soul come with me. Make me go out there by myself. Let me really wrong and be responsible for it. I don't want to be responsible for your man's destruction. Let me take my chance and go out in the world. Now, over the years, people have left for a variety of things. One of the big things that they have left for is corruption. They leave because church corrupt. I maintain that if you know your Bible, you cannot leave church because of corruption. The Bible nowhere says you leave a church because it's corrupt. You only leave a church when a church has rejected the truth. You do not leave because of offense. You do not leave because of hurt. You don't leave because you are disappointed in a man. It is not acceptable. And I'm telling you, anybody you know anywhere, let me put out this challenge. Anybody who you know anywhere, whether he, she, or the old lady was a part of this church or not, bring them to a public debate with me, with you in the audience. A public debate with me. On this point of the acceptable reasons to leave, you send that out and you bring them to me. Before that time, I commend some scriptures to you. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. A church that was divided. Your one sister pull out her ear Monday night in a panic. Pull out her ear, this and that has her problems. But go, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians and see when church is divided, see when church is in a problem. So I said, what should I do if she's really in a divided church? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, I appeal to you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree there should be no dissension among you. You must be united in the same mind. It has been reported by me, there is quarreling among you. Quarrel in the church of God. What a disgrace. What I mean is, one man says, I belong to Paul, and another man says, why? I belong to Apollos, another man says, I belong to Peter. Another man more righteous than everybody says, I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in Christ? Paul said, I missed the point and I divided. You have followed this man. You have this man as your favorite man. Deacons, if your favorite man fall. Deacons, if your favorite man fall. True, me no follow no man. Me that no problem. If the man fall, me follow no man. In love with no man. Never have been. The Corinthian church, which had so much knowledge, was divided. Paul said they were carnal. Paul said he couldn't even speak to them as spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul said there was jealousy and strife in the church. Suppose you're a part of that church. You'll leave? You'll leave now and go and find some other church? Because the church divided? Paul started the letter and he called the church, the church of God. It was the church of God and it was divided and it was messy and uncomfortable. People come to church for comfort, then come for love, then come for peace. That's the wrong reason to come to church. That's the wrong reason to come to church. You do not come to church because you're seeking love. Again, remember I said some years ago, a young girl, I said to my PCJ, it was upset with me. You come to church for the truth. The church is supposed to have love. But the church often has not had love. In fact, the prophecy about the last day church. A holy pound in a danger, you know. Why did me stay long? Because I'm not come for love. I'm not come for love. I'm not come for peace. I'm not come for joy. I come for truth. And the church has always had that. I'm in the church when there was no joy. In 79. I used to come to church. The church was depressing, you know. The government took over the church. Yes, Attorney General of California. I come to church, there was no peace. As long as because when I was 15, I come for truth. More love than me, other people can love me. I don't come for that. We should have that, you know. Don't misunderstand. I've been preaching all about the love. We should have love. And we should have peace. And we should have joy. You as an individual, make sure you don't come to church because you have psychological needs. You're going to be sorely. Satan is going to use your emotions and crush you. And crush you. I tell you that. You must listen to a survivor like me. I talked to my pastor friends. And them said, well, I have a friend who is a part of a big Emmanuel Apostolic. About 2,000 members. And she said, the amount of members they have lost. The big reason is offense. I talked to some of my other friends, I mean, Baptist, all of them. I said, boy, the church people, them just move from one congregation to the next and look for love. It's a whole instability. People don't go to church for truth anymore, you know. People don't go because it's comfort. The pastor nice, pastor talk nice, the pastor treat them good. Some of the people who have been here for the wrong reasons have left. Now, after a time, you know, remember the scripture I read some weeks ago? There must be divisions among you so that those who are genuine may be recognized or flushed out. After a time, the people who come for love and people be nice to them and appreciate them and all them kind of things, they eventually going to be hurt. How many of you called me and gave me appreciation for Teacher's Day? Me and your teachers for so much years. 280 under there. How many of you? One person say happy Teacher's Day to me. And I still was up at 1:30 working. Go to my bed, left my wife and everybody asleep. I still was up and got up back again at 6 o'clock. It didn't affect me. One person. Happy Teacher's Day. And I've been a preeminent teacher in the Church of God for so much years. No, I know you don't wait for dear. But you could have called me and do that. I don't wait on that. That don't affect me, man. I don't forget any prayers. Look, you can cuss me too. Cuss me and give me more opportunity to develop patience. I am here for truth. I'm here for service. I'm a part of the first fruits. I have never lost sight of these things. I'm not here because a man loves me, a man treat me good, and I treat me good, and I'm gone. Vexed or upset. No, you never. I tell you one thing. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you one thing. Boldly. I tell you I can fall away. I tell you I can fall away. I'm going to tell you one thing. You will never live long enough to say this man leave the church over any hurt, over any bitterness, over anything anybody did to me. I tell you, you will never. If God give you another lifetime and I get one, you will never live to see me. Any day I leave, because I prove who we are teach wrong. And after all these years, I can't prove it wrong. Never. As one, you will never live long enough with me. Then the law. Uno could have treat me. Uno can't try to, you know. You could have treat me. Uno could have cuss. Uno could call me all kind of thing. When I left out here even time and gone to dinner with my wife, I forget about all of that. The idea of my office and me, I do IT, I forget about all of that. And I'm ready to serve back with the same zeal again. Because I'm doing it unto Christ. And I'm being rewarded by Christ. And I have a crown to look forward to. You can't affect that. The only way you can affect that is if I make my spirit affected and hurt to the point I'm going to start to resent you or I'm going to leave. I'm going to not give you that victory there. You never live to see this man leave because of any disappointment. The leaders abroad, after I start the church in my living room, the man them come and remove me for no justifiable reason. total madness. I take it. I want to tell the truth. If they can't do it again, you will never live to see me leave. Me sit down, see him face. If they take me over and put Clark over me, I sit down and listen to boring Clark. Ah, well, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear you. You're stepping up to the plate. You're willing to take over from my position. All right. I take note of that. Thought you would turn it down. But he said, he said, "Want me boring." All right. I sit and I will listen to him. But I remain faithful. Turn. So in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5, there was immorality there and the leaders were tolerating it. A man is living with his father's wife. You go to 1 Corinthians 6, the members were taking one another to court. It was pure confusion. You go to the Passover and you see that one man was going ahead of the other. People were using their class position. Boring. No, it's a confusion. Paul had to write to them and say, when you come together, it is not for the good. Can you imagine? Paul had write to them and say, when you come together, it is not for the good. Because one man over him, another man over, it was pure confusion. Some of you couldn't manage a church like that. You couldn't manage a church like that. You'd have run and find a peaceful congregation of the church of God. Me, you'd have managed it. Can I tell you that? Me would have sit in the midst of that. And take that. Look at Jeremiah 5 and verse 7. So I'm putting forward a view in this part. Things can go very wrong in the church. The church can become corrupt. It is not a reason to leave. And I put out, I will debate anyone on that subject any Monday night. I invite all of you, excuse me, I invite all of you to come. And take on anyone on this matter. I have my text. I have studied this matter thoroughly. Why? Because I have seen the corruption of the church over the years. Jeremiah 5:1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search our squares to see if you can find a man who does justice and seek truth. What if you realize? What if you realize what I read in the Bible? There was a time when God's people, the prophet said, run, you can't even find a man who seek truth. The whole nation corrupt. That was God's church. Look at verse 7. How can I pardon you? Your children have forsaken me. I've sworn by those who are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery. They trooped to the houses of harlots. They were like well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing of his neighbor's wife. And that the church had got to Brother Hunter. And that was the people of God. So what if you are around, so what if you are around them time? You're gone. You say, boy, listen, me gone to Egypt, you know. Me gone to the Babylonians, you know, because Israel now deal with nothing. Israel don't have love. I can take you through the scriptures. No, corruption is not a reason for the rejection. Look at Jeremiah 9. Just a few passages I'm going to give you. Years past, I would give full sermons on these matters. Jeremiah 9. You, Jeremiah, oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's longing place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. Said, why let me want to run from them? Why? Because they are all adulterers. A company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth is going strong in the land. They proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, says the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor. And put no trust in any brother. What a state to be in. What a place to be in. What an environment to be in. Everyone deceives his neighbor. No one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They commit iniquity and they are too weary to repent. That was the people of God. It has happened before. It has continued.
I tell you something. As long as Judah maintained the Sabbath and the holy days and so on, they maintained their identity despite their moral corruption. You go to Jeremiah 23, the final passage in the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Woe to them. But the Bible tells you God deals with it. God never tells the Israelites that they must rebel against the shepherds. God deals with the corruption of his leaders. I challenge anyone to a debate on this. God says, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. Listen to me. God, it is God's responsibility to take care of the corruption and to appoint the shepherds whom he wants over his people. It is not the people's right to go decide that them go and get the good shepherds and them gone where good shepherds there. I challenge anyone to a debate on this matter. Because I'm going to prove anyone who dares to challenge me your biblical illiteracy. Jeremiah 23 and verse 9, concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine. Why? Because the land is full of adulterers. That was God's people. That was God's people. Verse 13, in the prophets of Samaria, I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. But watch this. In the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from their wickedness. What if you were in a church like that, as Israel was at the time? All of them have become like Sodom to me and its inhabitants, like Gomorrah. We come now to the New Testament. Matthew 15. What if we are hurt and offended? In fact, you know, I have this thing where I say, I come to see mostly that a lot of people say they believe in the Holy Spirit, don't really believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I think if you talk to the average member in relaxation time, I think members will say, boy, people are people. As much as the church is preparing for Pentecost, I think people will say, boy, people are people. There are few people who are willing to demonstrate in their lives the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. Well, let me give you some testing. All right. How many of you? You come here with your wife. You're going on for a few years. A brother starts looking at your wife lustfully. When you hear from the shout, the brother and your wife have some sort of affair. Eventually, we don't mash up. No one will listen to me now. Because we don't have Holy Spirit unto me. I give you something now. The brother Elwood, have an affair with the other brother's wife. Their marriage broke up. Pastor tell them, say, they're not going whatever and thing.
The brother and sister broke up. After a while, the adulterating brother married the separated and divorced sister. And then come to an ICM church. How many of these people you know would have stayed at this congregation rather than go find out of YMCA or Mullins Road or Spanish Town? Those are the people believe. How many of you really think that people would have stayed here, sir? And a woman would have sit down and take that. That man would have take that. That man. He believe me, you know, boy, I shouldn't leave expect doctrine, you know. He find every excuse in the world, because I'm going to tell me now, boy, I can't deal with it emotionally. I thought for true. Right, where was I thought, right? But where in the Bible we were see that because something hard, we shouldn't do it as Christians. Why you think we get the Holy Spirit is supernatural power. In the natural it is hard. In the supernatural, it, listen to me, let me be the one fool who left thy church. Let me be the one fool who believe in that Bible. Let me be the one fool who believe in the Holy Spirit. Me believe, say, if a man take my wife, and even know, say, me come to the door before, while me have her in my house, and the pastor, I'm kick him out, whatever, and forgive him, I come back, and he marry her, as hard as it will be, for me, come see him and I church. Me now going to Wales. Me tell you something, I'm going to Wales. And a lot of them know that me wouldn't know that too, me at all. Wouldn't know that a lot of the brethren wouldn't know. Them can't do it. Because guess what? Not my mentality. Me not come church about comfort. Me not come church about ease. I have a mission. I am working with the most effective body of the church. Me not left going to a cantina a YMCA. But still, I listen to the white man, I preach my video. Because me hurt and me left the most effective work, yes sir. Me sit down, yes sir, and deal with my hurt because I want to be a witness of the Holy Spirit and me can't deal with that. Man, come a date is him girlfriend after a long time a date and date. And you expect it to go toward marriage and break up. Man have another woman. Bring her come in our church now. The woman will break up now. Say, boy, this is a hard one, you know. I really can't come stand and see another woman sit down beside him and a cuddle up. Yeah, some woman is very affectionate, you know. A cuddle up and a put head pan out. You know, the thing is hard, you know. And sometimes the woman comes up all the front, you know. And the woman put her head and sure, you don't want to chop off her chair head and female, you know. So you see, rather than think about murder in a church, rather than think about murder, every time I go a YMCA, I'm going to go a Spanish town or something, man, and think about Jesus. Because I can't stay, so we don't think about me. Me are the one fool left in that church, I say, that person there must use the Holy Spirit and must deal with that. It would be there for the only amen we get, me not care about you. Me believe for the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit has the power. I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to sustain any member under any condition. I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to sustain any member under any condition of the Church of God. Man dating a girl, my girlfriend, girl that bring another man now. He vexed, he embarrassed. He spend most of time outside because he's afraid. So if we only react what is normal, when the Holy Spirit, we're not waste time of coming at the 24th. Me can't come at the 24th. I remember my first marriage. When the marriage was on the rocks. And it was, some people were breaking up. I remember one lady, she was at a members meeting. I said, get up, because I must spread room and I would say, I'm going to marry just about a woman. Why people can't? I'm going to go through some things that is a church about. I'm spread room and I would say, I'm just a woman, I'm going to marry her. Poor woman, you see. It was not. Them said, oh, me go marry someone. I remember one sister get up in a members meeting and say, well, one thing I can tell you now, I can't take two Mrs. Boyne to the church. I can't deal with that at all. I'm not dealing with two Mrs. Boyne. No. So she can't deal with this thing. Pastor, he might go married to somebody else. I share another congregation. She can't deal with two Mrs. Boyne.
I sit down there, even there, you're there, you know. I sit down and take the whole thing, you know. Why do you talk about me like me not there, you know? I go through some things as a church, you know. Because I know I was called. Because I know I was chosen. Because I have a purpose. And you see, if I never go through that now, I wouldn't be the beneficiary. I wouldn't be a part of the most dynamic congregation in the world of the Church of God. If I didn't run away like others, if Mr. Boy, I can't deal with this. I understood my mission as the first fruits. I understood that my Paul said, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Paul said, I wear my cross daily. I go through all of this thing for the elect. I'm not there for my comfort. But listen to me. Welcome to the church. All that Satan going to do. Satan started broke up some relationship. Broke up some of those that married. Broke up some of the people I'm going to date. Because he said, the way if you mash up that church, you know. Send this here when you go down this, huh? Send this here when you go to the other place. Make we scatter them. Ah, scatter the power of the holy people. You can't do it by doctrinal thing. What are you going to do now? Make the one you start date the one that didn't broke off. And it hurt because they had a brother. And then rumor will start, say they start when we doing all kind of thing. And the church people then start losing sight of the purpose now. And everybody start believe that. Listen to me. We are human. Listen, let's be realistic. How you expect a person to go through? But I thank God that I have. There are people who go through those things, though. Thank God. God has provided some witnesses of people who go through them things. It is possible. Don't come tell me them things are not possible. It is possible. You do have to left the congregation where God has done the most effective work and run the sit down here some ways where nothing can go on. Just because them keeping feast days. Because your relationship sour. And you can't stand see a man with another woman. You can't stand see a woman with another man. It is not about you. And if it have a mean, sir. Listen to me. Jesus come and him bear the cross. And before him bear the cross, him bear a whole heap of other things. Him bear other inconveniences. He was rejected by his own. He was maligned. Jesus did all of that. And we as his disciples, we can't take any discomfort. Jesus always had a sense of mission. Listen to me. In Jesus' time, you know, family relationship was everything. At one time, I preach, sweat people and say, listen to me. Hey, your mother and father look for you. I said, mother and father? My mother and father are the people that want to do the will of God. No, that sounds really awful, you know. Jesus, they had a temple and thing, and when look, the parents them gone, Passover. The man in there preached the people them. When them send for him, you know what the man said? To Mary? Woman, I must be about my father's business. How many Church of God people? How many Church of God people have them sense there? When them not think about family. All them think about is do the work of God, the work of the first fruits. They want to be a part of the most effective work. To reach people, to bring in people. Satan thing is, listen to me. You can't catch some people by doctrinal error. Some people won't go by doctrinal error. Most of we don't leave by doctrinal error. You say we pack up the same way. You can't use false doctrine most of we. We're too strong. I mean, do too good a job in strengthening the church by doctrine. Listen to me. Some things can only go on when we dead. We can't tell you that, you know. Some things can only go on and disappear. That's why God keep me alive today, the ninth, and never make me dead before. But always fear someone if me dead and the wrong person carry off the church. Me, I tell you that, you know. Me know why we happened with worldwide church and Joseph Tikach happened again. Let me tell you something. The mission of this church, the mission of God's people, you know, as we finish the work. In a most dynamic way. We must do nothing to jeopardize that. Each of us must think, what is his role? What is our role? How can we bear all the problems? Satan starts, because he knows that most of us not going to go on doctrinal error. Make we go up an offense. Why you feel hurt?
Boy, something to go your own way. Look on Matthew. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And verse 12. Then the disciples came and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard what you said?" And Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." They're going to come at 15 in the church, you know. Not everybody will see Israel of Israel. At 15 now come. Offense going come. You see those who are genuine, they're going to remain. I tell you some weeks ago, you have some people here who have been very offended by me. And they've not gone away. Because they're rooted in the doctrine. You see adults who are not rooted, you say one wrong thing and then gone through the door. They are just like the people that my friends in other churches telling me about who move from church to church. Every plant that is not firmly rooted will be uprooted. And Jesus go on. And an example is given of a woman, a Canaanite woman. She come and she said, "Have mercy upon me, have mercy." And Jesus said, "Listen, woman, I don't deal with you, you know. Because I'm not really comfy dealing with the dogs, you know. No, hold up. How many of you people here? Jesus called on a dog. I want to continue. You think we could take a chance with anyone inside here? Huh? How many people? Jesus called on a dog. The woman humbled herself and said, "Well, the dogs, them heat from the master table." Jesus said, "I never see such faith in Israel. It's a test." A number of members who pass through church fail the test. They can't deal with offense. No, Bible. We mustn't go around and offend people now because they're supposed to deal with tests. But the Bible tells us a millstone overhead. Paul said, "I give no offense to anyone." So we as ministers, we have offended unnecessarily. We must rebuke and so on, but we can do better. But here is my thing. It is no comfort to me. Let me tell you how I look at it as a member. It is no comfort to me that the person who offend me have a millstone around his neck and is being cast in a hell and I am there also. Yes, the person who caused me offense will get beaten and might even be lost. But I don't want the offense to give me a root of bitterness. And me gone. Because another thing too. Sometimes the people them who offend us and give us a root of bitterness, after a while they come and repent. You know them things they hard, you know. Sometimes people come and they realize that they do wrong, you know. And repent toward God. And you have the bitterness and left the church. And on your way to hell. And then I'm not even saying you and them in a hell alone, you know. You in a hell by yourself. And the people them get them repentance. My God, me not make that happen to me. Me not make that happen to me at all. The Bible says I must watch a root of bitterness. And don't make it become open and strong. You see, Hymenaeus and those people, Paul mentioned them name. If them didn't know a good for them, they would take that and repent rather than vex. Oh, Paul go write letter and call up my name. Deal with that offense. Paul didn't want his letter say, "Look out for the dogs." Him calling members of the circumcision party. Me wouldn't use them language, boy. Paul it too hard. Offense is not a reason. But there's a critical point I need to mention before I leave. We don't want critical point. There's a thing called process. Process. The fact of the matter is that we could be wrong. Perhaps we believe that we are the true church and we are not. We could be wrong. How would we know? Let me tell you what I have done, brethren. I told you about my meeting at PCJ with two of my close friends in the church, two leaders. What I did afterward, one remains to tell the story. I kept in regular touch with them.
And I kept telling them what was going on.
Now, the fact of the matter is, them couldn't really help me because them not read my type of material. One, them not have the money to buy the books. Them have other things to do. Me have money we can just spend as a buy books. I mean, I have to think about pay, like bill or pay this and that. I not depend on no budget. So, they didn't have the interest in that area. At least one of them read, but not in the area of philosophy and theology. Them couldn't help me. They understood that. But they kept praying. I was in touch with Van Stinson, who reads in the area of theology and philosophy. So I worked with him a lot.
I recognize that if I were having doubts and I did not bring it to somebody in the ministry, I would be making a fatal mistake.
This is a very important thing now. Process.
You might have doubts. You must engage the process.
God, listen to this very important statement. It could save your life.
God will not bless you and your search for truth if you don't respect the process as he sets out in the Bible. The process is every man first seems right until another man comes and examines him. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly, and shame shall be unto him. In a multitude of counsels there is safety. The ministry of God, the people who have the Holy Spirit, cannot be compared to people who don't have the Holy Spirit. Talking to other people who not have the Holy Spirit, you should talk to them too. But you cannot leave out people who are endowed, who are part of the first fruit. That is a part of the process. So I don't tell you. I tell you already now. I'm a very woman. We can leave. Only reason I leave, we believe in, were philosophical reasons. You know, I say you will never live that anybody treat me bad or anybody I love so much that me fall out of love with. That I leave church. We can sweep on my life and everything we may have. Uno will never live long enough to see me left over any hurt. The church could do me anything. The leaders could do me anything. They could slander me. They could threaten all my life. Anything. There's nothing that can make me leave. Except if one day I find out, say, this is a foolishness. I mean, I'll even go to the church. We can't tell you that. Because I have a problem. If I don't believe this thing now, I cannot go back in a church keeping Christmas. I cannot go back in a church keeping Easter. I cannot go in a church teaching me that I have an immortal soul. I cannot go in a church teaching me that God is a Trinity. I cannot go in a church that teaching me that this is the only day of salvation. I cannot go in a church that does not know the purpose of human life, that God is reproducing himself. I cannot go in a church that is not keeping the feast days. I do have a problem. If I find the Armstrong wrong and false and think I don't know where to go. I don't know which church. But tell me, I've studied comparative religions. You tell me which religion I'm going to find. If I go Adventist, I do have some errors, then we have errors. Other errors. God of heaven during a millennium. Probation truth. Me can't deal with that. We must go Jehovah's Witnesses. That teach me that God created Jesus. That teach me that we have 144,000 in heaven and the great crowd upon the earth. What nonsense. I have nowhere to go but throughout the Bible. That's the only thing I talk to the guys about. I never talk to the guys about one day. I always tell them, any day I left the church, I'm done with all church. I'm done with Bible. Thank God. The last 2 years has been the best. The Lord has removed so many of the questions that I had. I was able to talk to a good friend of mine some weeks ago and I said, boy, you know, the last 2 years. I remembered there was one Sabbath. One of those friends had such great love for me. I remember I saw him one Sabbath and I said, boy, I'm, you know, just not myself. So to me, I always keep in touch with him and make him know. So him said, boy, you have some questions again. You have philosophical questions. So I said, boy, I'm not myself. And I remember he gave a sermon one Sabbath. I was just not myself. And he talked about other Robins. He talked about a man
who came from Sweden. That Robbins couldn't, like him couldn't write anymore, and he was near suicide, and so when his son wrote. And I sat right there while he was preaching. I tell you, it meant so much. And I saw him the Monday, and I said, you know, I know you gave that sermon for me. I could see the love. I could see his pain, because like I was telling him, it was more than one week, I was saying, I'm not feeling myself. Would I never know? But because he was my confidant. I'm just not myself. Come here, you know, I read some things, and it was about 3 years ago. And it affected him, and he gave. I could see that love that he wanted to reach me. He wasn't reading my things, so he couldn't reach me that way there. But he gave an illustration of a man who used something about faith. I don't remember exactly the story, but I remember being touched. And even more so being touched by the fact that him had this deep concern for me and didn't want me to leave, that him would give a message. And I said, you know, I know that message was for me. The good thing was, I opened up. I told him and my other friend here what was going on. I opened up to them, opened up to Stinson. And those of you who know, every Monday night when I meet any group, all you can remember this, I always start by asking for more faith. Sometimes I don't know why, but I always ask the Lord for more faith. When you know you have struggles, you let the people of God know. Listen to me, God is not going to honor you except you follow His. You have to follow His thing and set out in the Word. If you're not following God, you are going to buck your foot. You have to bring it to someone who has the Holy Spirit. I tell me, I talk to other people. I read other people. You have to bring to someone who is a part of the first fruits. There is something special about those of us who are gifted with the Holy Spirit. I knew, even though. And I said, my friend, I'm not read them things, so he can't help me with philosophy and theology. But he touched me that day with his love. And the Lord gave him an example, and he gave me an illustration that day in a sermon. It so touched me. I felt better from that time. And I remember when I go to him, I said, boy, the love you have. Because he said, you think about me so much that you would give a sermon. I mean, no, I said, me, it was largely for just to help me to come out of that. Brethren, there are times when we need each other. There are times when, because this walk takes its toll on us, you know. This walk is hard. This walk is rough, my dear brethren. And brethren, more and more, we just have to be humble. We have to put aside pride. And you know, I close because time is going. One of the unfortunate things about me is not only my enemies are intimidated by me, my friends intimidated by me. But don't say, I have something beyond charisma. So it's not charisma. Your thing is deeper than you have something greater than charisma. But there's a downside to that. The downside, I'm scared of all my friends. Even my friends, sometimes they don't even know how to talk to me. It's a problem. I have to urge. And I know the fact that my knowledge is a bit intimidating to people. Because people say, boy, they don't want to look foolish. They come with some point, they'll look foolish. Sometimes even though I don't try to make you look foolish, you know. But they know, so because of my knowledge base. If you come with certain arguments, they know. But listen to me, all I'm saying is, your life depends on it. Forget about your ego. Come make me talk about it. Even if you have to look foolish. Forget about pride. Even if you point out and you really look foolish after you don't talk to me. Better you look foolish and you save yourself. Because it makes no sense not to stand firm on the cross of Christ. I want to close in the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, where there's a prophecy. A prophecy for these last days. Brethren, I want this Passover season, I want you to think about all that I have said. I want you to think about the great people who we have lost through the thousands of years. And I don't want Satan to rob you of your confidence and you will feel that, who am I? The disciples at one time, after Jesus spoke to them, they said, Lord, who then shall be saved? And the scripture says, if the righteous shall scarcely be saved, where will the sinners and the ungodly be? But think about the fact, the Holy Spirit, you are celebrating Pentecost, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. You have power in you. You have enormous power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon your brethren. We have power. Me no afraid of the devil. Because Jesus Christ has defeated him already. Me no afraid of Satan. At 43 years me survive. All of you can survive. All of you. If the Lord delays his coming, you can pass my 43. I want you to leave with that confidence. Do not believe that because great men have fallen, you must fall. Satan wants to rob you of your confidence and your encouragement. Defeat Satan. Know what Satan's purpose is. It's to discourage you, to make you feel that you can't make it. You can make it. To make you feel you can't make it under any circumstances. Look at the letter to the church in Pergamon in Revelation 2. He said, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. But you can overcome. What about those in Sardis? Sardis is dead. What the Bible says, I have a few who will walk with me. Brethren, it don't matter. It don't matter where you are. It don't matter how bad the conditions are in the church. Jesus can make you the victor. It doesn't matter who fall away. It doesn't matter if Pastor Boyne fall away. If I fall away, brethren, I say this to you. I beg you today on the ninth. If I fall away, I beg you, brethren, don't lose your confidence. I beg you, brethren, to be rooted in Jesus, man. Look to Jesus. Don't look to me. Remember, I said, me will fail you. Remember, I said, Satan can't get me. You don't know what is happening in my life. You don't know the deterioration. Brethren, I beg you, don't make your life dependent on me. I am not worth it. I am not capable. Without the help of Jesus, I cannot even help myself. I cannot help you much. I leave you with these warnings from Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 1. The Spirit says expressly in the latter days, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. False doctrine, false teaching. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will heap up teachers for themselves to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Whatever that suffering might be in the church of God. Whatever the problems might be in the church of God. Whatever the discomfort might be. We don't come to church for comfort. We don't come to church for love and for peace. We come for truth. And we come to build up the body. We come to contribute toward the first fruits that will be reaped when Jesus Christ returns. We come, brethren, because there are billions of people who are waiting on us in the world tomorrow for us to help. Brethren, we must be in the kingdom of God because there is much work to be done in the millennium and beyond. Let us forget about our little comforts. Let us forget about our friends. Let us forget about our families. Let us forget about our very lives and rededicate ourselves to the church and rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ, who died and gave himself for the church. Hallelujah.